I know that what we are here to do is to talk a little bit and to share an experience, something of what it means to be a rainbow church in the sense of worship. I realize that we're just going before a Vespers, which is part of that, but I thought it might be good for us to talk about it a little bit too, instead of just doing it, but also to explore the resources that we have available to us. I wanted to share with you, sort of as an opener to this too, a passage that I used in the Bible study yesterday that I think is appropriate also for this particular context. The passage comes from Romans chapter 15, verse 7. It says, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the praise of God." That particular passage, as we talked about it yesterday, came to have maybe a slightly different meaning than we thought of before. I have also been very fond of the definition of Henry Nouwen to the word hospitality, giving a welcome to people, what that really means. His definition of hospitality, of welcome, is the creation of a free space within ourselves where the stranger can enter and become a friend instead of an enemy. Creating space for a stranger to come in, not a relative or a friend, but a stranger to come in and to become a friend after entering in instead of an enemy. And for me, this has been a really vivid image when I think of worship and the kinds of sharing that goes on in what is really the one time during the week when the church gathers together in unity to celebrate who we are, to celebrate our identity, our various identities, as well as our common identity. There's a lot of questions as to what multicultural is in worship, also as to how it's done and to why it's done. And I've heard a lot of theories on this, and all have a little bit of validity, but some of them I'm a little concerned about. One I think that's important to remember is that a multicultural experience in worship is not your basic evangelism tool. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, we have to become multicultural in our worship, or otherwise we'll never get those other people to come here. And so I think if we do this, maybe they'll come. And it becomes sort of the hook. It's true, if we do something that reflects people, who people are and where they're coming from, it's more likely they'll come. But I don't think that's the main purpose that we look for a multicultural context for our worship. Also, some people say, well, because we do have in our community people of a certain color, we have black people in our church, therefore we have to include something out of black culture in our worship because they are there. I think that also misses a little bit. There's some truth to that. We should celebrate what each of us brings to worship, but there's something about that that says, well, as long as they're here, we'll do this, but if they leave, then we don't have to do it anymore. And I think we need to look at this a little differently. And I'm going to share a little bit from my experience, which has been primarily working in Hispanic ministry. And I've done other cross-cultural experiences in black communities as well. But I want to share with you a little bit what it's done for me and why I do it. And also, Ray McKeever has his own experience into where he is now and what his cross-cultural experience has meant to him. And so together, we thought we would give a little bit of a variety on what we can be doing in our congregations and what we might expect it would be happening to us in that process. I was in part of the session on Is White a Color of the Rainbow over there, part of the rainbow, and something was reiterated there that's been in other sessions too, and that is that I think that we are all culturally deprived if we do not enjoy, celebrate, and learn to experience the fullness of creation, which is the fullness of the diversity of cultures that are part of our church. Think of the body of the Christ and think of all the possibilities that are available to us. We have a heritage as Christians that is much broader than what we've normally been able to experience. And it doesn't come naturally. You know, we don't always recognize it, remember it, or have the opportunity, but we can. And that's sort of like what we'd like to share tonight is ways we can do that and hope that you will also share with us from your experience. Just like to ask you, how many of you come from congregations that are multicultural? That is, you have people of cultures other than white? Okay, that's interesting what our experience of multicultural, it comes and it goes depending on if it's a special program or there's a person who really has a vested interest in sharing that. Okay. Interesting. All right. I gather that you're all somewhat interested, perhaps, in how we might do more of this. Is that an assumption on my part that we're here this evening for that? Is that? Can we proceed sort of with that understanding? Okay. Well, why don't we do that? We've done a couple things already this last week and starting this week that have brought in some possibilities. Last week in the Vespers, I led one Vespers that had a Hispanic component to it. Sort of the general focus was Hispanic. And there were a couple of ways we included that. And how many were here last week for that? Okay, well, a few. Turnover in Holden. I think we can still share that with each other. Those of you who sang this last week can sing more loudly, and those of you who didn't can pick it up. There are a number of ways that we have included. For instance, right now I'm in a black congregation where there are some Puerto Ricans in the neighborhood, but again, it's almost like many white congregations where there are other people in the community and maybe one or two that are part of the congregation. So we've been trying in this black congregation to also lift up the Hispanic culture, and it's worked pretty well. But there are a variety of ways that it works in small pieces that people are able to get a sense of what the culture offers. One thing we did last week was we had a litany of forgiveness, confession and forgiveness. Many of those are written by us in our worship. For instance, a confession that might include, we could think of the divisions that we build up. We built up divisions and allowed hostilities to divide us instead of intentionally breaking down walls to bring people together. And sometimes we just let them be there. We haven't maybe built them consciously ourselves, but they're there and we don't deal with them. And that too is a cause for confession. This response to a litany that might include petitions like that has the following words. Perdona tu pueblo. Can you repeat that? Which means, can you guess? Sounds so much like English in some ways. Pardon, yeah. Forgive your people. Perdona tu pueblo. Forgive your people. Perdona tu pueblo. And it repeats. Perdona tu pueblo. Perdona le Señor. Right. Forgive them, Lord, or which means us. We're saying this from us. And it's a very well-known refrain in Latin America, and I know Jack remembered it from there, because people, when they sing it in processions, are very fond of this particular song. It goes, Perdona tu pueblo, Señor. Perdona tu pueblo, perdónale, Señor. Yeah, all the words fit. They all fit. Sometimes we have to wrap our tongue around them sometimes. But Spanish flows pretty well. Let's try that all together, maybe a little slower.
Perdona tu pueblo, Señor. Perdona tu pueblo, perdónale, Señor.
And we can remember in between times the many things that we do have to confess, as we do in a good Lutheran tradition, the things we've done and the things we've forgotten to do or just not done. And as we end a petition with, we have sinned, then we can continue with this particular refrain. Perdona tu pueblo.
Perdona tu pueblo, Señor. Perdona tu pueblo, perdóname, Señor.
Does that music convey to you something of a sense of what it's saying? Is that... I find that a lot of times music that comes from a particular culture really conveys a sense of the meaning in a new way that we can experience freshly. There's another, if we look liturgically in the music, another song we sang that I'm going to ask Ray to play since he's also done this for Alabaré. How many of you know Alabaré? Okay, the same over here. It means I will praise. There are a few words that are very easy that we've also included in our worship that are short and fit into something that we already know. This particular In fact, I have a few worship books that I will hand out, but I think you won't need it's in the second page. Labre, it's the hill of praise. And the verse goes, worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free from our sin. Remember the rest of it, right? Power and riches and wisdom
and
strength and honor and glory
shall be.
Right. I'll grab a couple. Page 4. But the words are very simple. Alabare, 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 alabare a mi Señor. Can we say that?
Alabare, 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 alabare a mi Señor.
That was pretty good. Let's try that once more. It's easier to sing. Alabare,
alabare, alabare.
One reason that we've often taught this in different congregations is because it's very well known among Hispanic populations. You can go almost anywhere where they do Hispanic worship and everybody will know this song. So it's a good song to know for that purpose. Don't get it the first time around, just join the refrain. Ready? But that's a very good one also, as I said, to share with other people. There are some litanies in here. There's one that came out of, I think, World Council book. Jesus, Light of the World, on page 8, which alternates from Spanish and from English. And we'll find that you can learn a few words in Spanish and give you a tremendous feeling of accomplishment. And it sings well. It's easier to sing than in English. But that is one possibility of taking parts of your liturgy and including something in there. Another common place is in the Alleluia, just before the Gospel. What we've often done in congregations, an introductory thing, is the Alleluia. It's also from the Liturgy, and it's well known as, you can easily put other words to that encompass. It was this morning, yes. That too, yeah. And words, for instance, for Easter, Cristo vive, means Christ lives. And Cristo vive, Cristo vive, Cristo vive. But you can use those words, and they're simple enough to be repeated, but also gives you that sense of commonality with people in other parts of the world who are celebrating that same event, and often with the same music, but with different words. And Ray has done a couple things also liturgically that you might want to share now too about in the Santo that are... one more I think I will share before we go to the Santo, as one you have mentioned. In Latin America, it's very common during the sharing of peace to be singing while you're doing that. And one of the songs that you may know also is what's the title of it? In Hebrew, Shalom, Eveinu Shalom Aleichem. Which was its original language, which means peace be with you. And it's done in many languages, as you know. You do it in Hebrew, or you? You're right. That's the one. It has. Does anybody know this song? Anybody heard that? Oh, it's a beautiful Hebrew melody that has been sung a great deal in Spanish, but can be done in any language. And if we had a longer workshop, we might try it with every language you know. But it's a good unifying thing for that way. But we can try that in Spanish now. Let's see. So wonderful. The words in Spanish are, you can do it if you want, we'll sing. Okay, well, E minor is fine too. We'll just do harmony or sing minor. La paz se está con nosotros. Can you say that?
Like three words, and that, I think that's something that's very important, just to give people a word at a time. And
La paz.
La paz.
Esté.
Esté.
Con nosotros.
Con nosotros.
With us.
La paz. Esté.
La paz. Esté.
Con nosotros.
They put the article in front of it, and so we would say, peace be with us.
No.
Let's try that whole phrase. La paz esté con nosotros. You can roll, it's kind of so much fun, you can roll your R's, and drag out your vowels. La paz esté con nosotros. At the end it says, y con nosotros,
y con nosotros.
Siempre.
Siempre,
siempre, esté la paz.
Esté la paz.
Siempre means always, and they always be with it. By the time you repeat these songs, the words are just indelible and printed in your mind. Where would you like us to start?
Brave in your mind, whatever your mind may be. Chiseled in your mind.
Right down, that's with the recordings.
Oh, we'll find it.
The Pazes Deus, oh, so close. The Pazes Deus, oh, so close. The Pazes Deus, oh, so close. The Tenda Pocos, Sempre, Sempre, Se La Paz.
Yeah,
pretty good. The Pazes
My experience with multicultural music is, Susan and I were talking, and I think it might be more similar to most of yours, because I belong to, well, when you go to our worship service, you see white people. We do live in a neighborhood that's somewhat diverse. We have Native American, Hmong, and some black people, and very few Hispanic. I live about 2 miles from the church where there's a larger black population. So, let's see. What I wanted to say was that I kind of have a rule of thumb, and it's very similar to yours, and it was nice to hear you talk about the hospitality, because I don't believe that we do a multicultural song or style of liturgy in our church in order to make friends with people of other cultures. I believe it happens the other way around. We make friends multiculturally, and out of that friendship comes the music. Do you understand the difference there, what I mean? I belong to a lot of organizations, a national men's organization, the church, who are always talking about how can we get a more diverse population. And the thing that I always say is we just have to make friends. And pretty soon we're all going to change. But anyway, that's kind of my approach to it. And I think you can usually tell when you go into a church what one of the indicators is how they do their worship, and what you hear in the worship is to what the population of the church is, no matter whether you see black people, white people, whatever color people. You know. In my work, what I have done is over the course of maybe the last 5 or 6 years, I've made some friends who are Hispanic and some black friends. And it's influenced my music some, and it's influenced the liturgy and the music in our church. And I just wanted to give you a couple examples of that tonight. So if you turn to, I'm not even sure what pages they are. Turn to page 11. And then put your thumb in page 21. Now, okay, what these are, in the beginning of the book here, there's 3 liturgical settings. I just happen to be a part of a kind of a unique situation, which I don't think has to be unique in the life of the church, is that I've been writing music for some time about other things than for worship, and my congregation, they said, we like your other music, could you write some songs for our worship? So I was invited to do it, and over the course of 3 or 4 years, I developed 3 different liturgical settings, which our church gradually began to use. Anyway, I wanted to show you the difference here. In page 11, this is sort of the earliest things I did, on the Holy, Holy, Holy. It's pretty typical, kind of, it feels typical Lutheran style or European style, even though I've got a guitar. If we had the piano, it would sound a little different. And if we had the organ, it would sound probably more. But it's got a little bit more, a little spirit, but it's basically the same kind of note pattern. So it goes like this. Actually, let's start with "The Lord Be With You." You just sing, I'll sing the leader part and you sing the response. The Lord be with you and with you too. Lift up your hearts, lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us thank the Lord our God. It is right to give God thanks and praise. The Lord be with you and with you too. And then we just go into this. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and love. Heaven and earth are full of you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and love. Heaven and earth are full of you. Hosanna in the highest. Okay, pretty singable, pretty straightforward, not probably a whole lot of difference. It's got a little syncopation in one line there. It goes, what is it, Hosanna, and a little bit unusual there, right? But pretty straightforward. The congregation took that in, you know, as easily as a congregation can take in new stuff, and it was okay. Okay, then the second setting came out, and that's on page 21. Okay, kind of the standard opening here. Here we go again. May God be with you, friends, and with you once again. Lift up your hearts and minds. We lift them up in kind. Let us thank our God who lives. Thanks and praise is what we have. And then all of a sudden, little tambourines and okay, and then everybody's encouraged to go, holy, holy, holy God, source of power, source of love, heaven and earth are full of you. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our gracious God. Blessed is the one who comes. Blessed be Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy God, source of power, source of love. Heaven and earth are full of you. Hosanna in the highest. Okay, so a little different, right? Okay, some spirit, nice. But that was a song that I wrote then. I mean, that's the one I wrote after I met my friend Tony, the Puerto Rican down in Florida. And I went to meet Tony, and I can tell you a long story about Tony, and sometimes I tell that, but we sometimes on pure faith. I mean, Tony was a musician. I knew that much about him. I heard people that had met him, talked about him, and I was interested in going to see him, and I went down to see him and got in his car, and he was speaking Spanish to everybody, and he took me to a place where everybody was speaking Spanish, and I felt like nothing. I mean, I thought, this is a waste. Anyway, it's a long story about that how that happened, but that's kind of another thing. However, we do that setting in our congregation, and our congregation is an old Norwegian Lutheran congregation, and not everybody sings yet. I mean, I can see some people not singing, but yeah, right. But okay, I won't say any more about that. I've got a whole session that I do on this, which I will be doing while I'm here. The second example I wanted to give you was on page. Okay, here's
We'll do these in reverse order, okay? But I'll tell you the story. I live in a neighborhood Jeff knows because he goes to the church that's there. And it says on the bottom of the page, on page 54, I live in a neighborhood where one block down the street, actually, there are three of them within about a four-block area, there are what you call these black gospel churches. And they're the kind of churches you walk by on Wednesday night and things are humming. And it's electric music and stuff is going on there, and it fills the neighborhood. I've never gone in that place. There's a big one nearby, which I've gone to a couple times. But that stuff touches me, and I live and go on the bus with people of other color. And I went to a workshop one time, very much like coming to Holden Village here. I mean, you're all going to be touched by what you experience here. It's just like, what are you going to do with it, you know? And so it was after a lot of experiences like this that all of a sudden I wrote this song, and the small singing group at our church sang it at communion. Okay, and it's the Spirit of the Living God. I'll just play this. We're just kind of going to play the bottom, okay? And I wish this group that was here could have done this. And this is on page 55, but we'll just kind of sing it as it is. So if you give it a try, it's very slow.
What Ray was saying is something that we both experienced, and that is once you do make this space inside yourself and you're not all filled up with all your own things and you let something else in, it's a lot more dangerous than you think. You know, being hospitable means that you're going to be changed, you're going to be transformed. When you think of like the Spirit song, welcoming the Spirit into our lives, we do that when we open up in that way. And the fact is, though, we're never the same.
Yeah.
It comes out in Ray and other kinds of music that he hasn't sung before.
Yeah.
You know, something new, like, I've never composed this before, but it's something that happens in that transformation, and that's really important. And I was going to tell him that he taught me a song last fall that I liked a whole lot, and when I like something, I can try and find opportunities to use it. And so I translated into Spanish. And I use it a lot of times in congregations when I preach in an opening kind of way. And it's a song which fits some of the theme. Was it Welcome Everyone? Come Let Us Worship God.
Come Let Us Worship God.
Yes, I'm pleased.
It's an antiphonal. Oh, it's in here too?
Well,
everything is here. But it's one that's very easy, again, for a congregation to put in their own words, in their own language. What page?
26. Yes, a welcome. 26?
As long as we're talking about welcome, I would like to probably sing a couple of verses of this. And if you want to, why don't I lead these, because I'm going to just slip in some Spanish. And of course, they will respond with the same word. Come let us worship God in Spanish. Ven a lo reino. Can you hear that? Ven a lo reino. And then repeat. Ven a lo reino.
Ven a lo reino.
Everyone, welcome everyone. Todos bienvenidos. There are a number of resources available. We will close with a Laudare by request. We really didn't do it until it doesn't. I just like to recommend to you a couple of others. Freedom is Coming is in the bookstore. I sung this with small groups before with choir. It's wonderful. You suddenly sound like a South African freedom group, which you never thought you could sound like, because the music and the rhythm is here and really gives you a way to enter into something that would be hard to do otherwise. And this song that we've used here, Ever Flowing Streams, has a number of songs that come from other cultures. Also in the bookstore, yes.
It's just
let's close in once more with Laudare. Why don't we stand up and this time, since it's the end and the choir's coming in, everybody's getting ready, let's just give it to all. Whatever he evokes from you. Laudare is on page 4.
Okay,
we're ready.
Thank you.